episode, and we're going into the second one now. Does everybody remember what happened last time we met?
We met.
I think so.
Yeah. So last we met, we introduced you to our characters, Zika, the Isog druid, and we have Kiernan, the human ranger, and we have Ordrum Razor, Flaskmaster, the dwarf cleric. So does he go by Razor? Has he taken that moniker?
He's taken
as
it.
A...
He owns it.
That's excellent. Okay, good. So last we met you guys, you met by chance just inside of the gates of the city of Malshar. You were pulled together by witnessing a scuffle between a bunch of townsfolk and a old serpent folk gentleman. That old serpent folk was being accused of stealing some apples, and the mob was about ready to have their way with him when you three stepped in to disperse the situation. You were able to, without causing any lethal intervention, you were able to quell the situation, cow the old retired guard who started the fight, and keep the snake person from getting killed or killing someone else. So we are going to pick right up in that scene. So you are here in the marketplace of the West Gate, the district to the west of the lower half of Malshar, and here we are.
Thank you for assisting us.
Well met, my friends. I don't like to see anyone being bullied.
I think we can agree on that.
Well, there's a tavern right over there.
I was just going to ask if I could buy you a drink.
Well, it would be my honor. I mean, it looks like, no offense, but you two look like you have fallen upon hard times.
I look like that? How about this? You can pay for the first round.
Fair enough.
So, as you stated, there's a tavern right across the street from you, and that tavern is called what, Rick?
Fool's Gold.
Fool's Gold. Okay. You make your way into this crowded tavern. The tavern is not as crowded as it could be. You don't see any serpent folk in this tavern. This tavern seems to be mostly humans, some elves, a few elves or half-elves, and some of the various undefined folk that will be whatever they're defined as it needs to be, if it needs to be. That's how we're rolling here, guys. So you make your way up to the tavern. There is a table free, a small halfling barmaid who's carrying an overflowing tray of ale, which is like, seat yourselves wherever. There seems to be a relatively clean place over there. I'll be with you in a minute, loves.
Well,
are you new in town?
Yes, it's my first assignment.
I'm sorry, assignment?
Yes, I have just graduated. I am out in the world now, and I seek the local forge master for my assignment.
Oh, just graduated. You are rather young?
No, he's not rather young. Actually, he looks close to middle age.
I was fooled by the young.
Oh, yes.
Beard.
That's why they call him Razor. In the war with the Dwargar, at the Battle of the Forge, it fell out. There's some things that could not be unseen.
I understand.
Such is the way of war. Zika Hargwater, at your service.
Huh. My pleasure.
So, Razor, that's your name?
It was given to me, and I accept it.
Your full name?
Ordrum Flaskmaster.
Ordrum. Kiernan, Locke.
Nice to meet you.
You as well. We also are new in town.
Quite new, as of about 20 minutes or so.
Do the serpent folk not normally drink the same kinds of alcohol the rest of us do? Is that why they're not here, or are they just not welcome here?
I don't really know what kind of alcohol they drink. Never shared a drink with one.
I'm hoping it's the former, though.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's the latter.
All right, loves, what do you have?
A pitcher and specials for everyone.
All right. I like the way you think. Can anybody else say, we have these breaded logs of cheese that are...
Say no more. We'll take one.
All right. They're very lovely. We have a red spicy sauce that we serve them with. As the afternoon settles in, you are able to share as much as you want between the three of you. You know, Razor, that you do have to report to the forge. I want you to report in as soon as you get in. Zika's looking for people, but...
They don't know I'm coming, so... You said you had just recently graduated from the Order of the Forge?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
We feel it is our duty to seek out those things that can be used to battle evil. We seek potential heroes, forge them into the weapons to fight against the coming apocalypse.
There's an apocalypse coming.
There's always an apocalypse.
Seems rather grim take on things.
One way to live, I suppose.
Well, if you are not ready and prepared for the coming catastrophe, it will destroy you. If you are prepared, you can beat it back and perhaps change the way in which it goes.
Well, I grew up under the threat of an apocalypse coming, and to be perfectly honest, I think I'm ready for some time enjoying the other aspects of life. Perhaps seeing what's beyond the apocalypse. Not in that way.
Not many people enjoy the apocalypse.
But perhaps there are things we can enjoy. For instance, bread and cheese.
How's everything over here? Are you enjoying your libations and your...
Do you have any sauce that's spicier?
I have just what you're looking for. Oh, you little weasel folks, you are just the cutest. Do you need a place to stay?
Yeah, that's
I don't know yet.
Well, unfortunately, we are at capacity here, but I can recommend a lovely inn that a friend of mine runs in Crampton. It's called The Fork in the Road. It's easy to find. Crampton is very, it's got a lot of character as far as neighborhoods go. In the meantime, please feel free to stay here as long as you like. We try and keep this place civilized. A little bit more, you know, hair and skin, a little bit less scales, if you know what I mean. Like those sorts congregating here. It's, I mean,
understood.
They need a place to go, but to be honest, I mean, I don't have to tell you. They're not usually welcome anywhere.
So you're saying you don't want them in your neighborhood?
Look, it's not for me to decide, right? If I was on the council, I might have a bit less compassion for those sort. But I'm not that kind of person normally. Definitely your stoic kind of look at her subtle racism is not going over well. Oh, don't mind me, I'm just... And then she wanders off.
I have to imagine we're going to run into a lot of that here.
Well, when you put a lot of people together, one large group, they tend to make bad decisions.
People generally tend to make bad decisions.
But group decisions are so much worse.
I think it depends on the group. If you respect everyone in the group, things turn out differently.
I would agree.
Well, very well. shall we find this inn, and then I have to be off to Temple?
Let's say that phrase, fork in the road, always makes me think of delicious traveling food.
All right, take some mott sticks to go, and you make your way. So you head towards Crampton. Crampton is almost dead in the middle of the city. It's across from the lower market. The major market districts occupy the dead center of the town. There's the lower market and the upper market, designated by which side of the river they're on. The lower market is where you will find most of your mundane items. Pretty much anything you can find that's in the regular equipment list is easy to get there. Any kind of exotic stuff will maybe be a little bit trickier to get. It's gettable, but not super cheap. Anything more exotic you might be able to find in the upper market. But as of right now, if there is anything particularly exotic, you're probably not going to be able to afford it anyway. But in the meantime, you're going down the main lower thoroughfare, which is the main street of the lower half. So far, the only street I've named. You make your way through a couple of districts that we haven't defined yet, and then you will find yourselves in Crampton. Crampton is, well, you realize why it's called Crampton, as in even Westgate, as far as the buildings go, there were even like spaces that people could probably walk through between them. And in Crampton, the buildings are all just jammed up into each other, built on top of each other. Some of the buildings that are built underneath other structures are kind of feeling the weight of the larger structures. Some of them are almost impossible to get into. Most of these places are homes. There are some shops and things like that, but mostly it's homes. Quite a bit of squalor here.
Poor architectural design.
Yeah, there's nothing dwarven here. This is all definitely human manufacturing. It's all very utilitarian, and there's no artistry to it. You're able to make your way to the center of Crampton, where you can see where four roads converge. I think if you look at the map, there's like one blue building there that looks slightly different than the other ones, if you can tell. And this is the Fork in the Road Tavern. And it's not too crowded in here. There's a fair amount of people. They kind of eyeball you suspiciously as you walk in. As you make your way through, Kiernan, you especially are still dealing with the claustrophobic nature of cities. You just can't help but feeling eyes on you everywhere you go. And given that this is a new place, it's not unusual, but occasionally you catch the eye of someone who who are you are certain is staring at you. As you go, the first person you see is a teenage girl wearing a yellow dress, and you kind of meet her eye, and just for a second, you're pretty sure there might be a glint of recognition, and then she just turns and disappears. And then about 10 minutes later, there is an older gentleman balding with a wispy mustache and dirt on his face. And once again, you're just staring at you like he knows you, but you don't recognize him. Like the little girl, he vanishes into the crowd. That strangeness is kind of settling with you, but...
I'm going to be hyper-aware of things like that.
All right, and what is your passive perception, just so I know?
14.
Okay, good. So you find the fork in the road inn, and as you go in, like I said, it is not too busy in here, but there are definitely some eyes turned to you as you walk in. You really get the immediate sense that this is the kind of place that has a lot of regulars, as their bar stools just seem to almost sink into the ground under their weight. A burly human, about, you clock his age to be about 60 or so, kind of wispy white hair, a big white beard, and his shirt is open, and there's a tattoo on his chest of the sigil of the Guard of Malshar, which you've seen a few times. It's faded, and there's all kind of chest hair growing over it. As you walk in, he sets down a couple drinks in front of some people and says, "Newcomers, welcome, welcome. Come on in, come on in."
Thank you.
I am Elsik Shalimar. This is my place. Tell me, have you been referred?
We have. The young halfling woman from the Fool's Gold?
Ah, that must be Maribel. She is, she is a little bit opinionated, but I always trust her judgment as far as customers. Welcome to Crampton. A lot of people might talk down Crampton, but this is the heart of Malshar. This is one of the oldest districts in the city. This is where the original laborers who ran the shipyards and built the marketplaces, their families still live here. This is the life's blood of the city, and there's more knowledge of this town in this neighborhood than anywhere else you'll find. So if there's anything you're looking for, just ask. One of our friendly neighbors is sure to give you information. But please, I will get you drinks. Do you need rooms?
Yeah.
I actually don't know if I need a room yet. I'm here to look for some people I may know. Actually, the guard at the wall said that if I'm looking for people like myself, I should look for Bale Malshar.
Yes. Most of the Glasswood folk live there. You can't miss it. It's actually, you're going to take a right out of here, and to the end of the street, you will see a preponderance of trees. That is Bale Malshar. Well, let's say it is being pretty crowded there these days. There are a lot of refugees from the war.
Well, I'll have to let them know if they're still running from the war that the war is over. Perhaps they have not heard.
Oh, they're probably aware.
I last heard about a year ago. I had three friends who were making their way here and plan to stay for some time.
Well, I hope you're able to find them. Well, you bear the sigil of the forge. You must be a holy man.
Yeah, I would like to think so. It is my first assignment, and I'm here to meet the forge master.
Umir, Forge Cloak. Yes, I know him in passing. He seems to have a lot of aspirations. Is this a new assignment?
Indeed.
Forgive me asking, but you do seem to be a little bit aged for an acolyte.
Yes.
No offense.
None take. Some of us take longer to learn our lessons than others.
Well, some of us never stop learning. 30 years on the city guard myself. I have seen every inch of this town, from the highest heights to the lowest lows, and I can tell you something. The dwarves were among the first to set up shop in Malshar. The Forge Temple is a very beloved place. I wish you good luck. Hey, you're a quiet one.
Yes, sir. This city, I've never experienced anything like it.
Or its scent.
Yes.
Truth.
Yes, I always say follow your nose. Your nose will get you where you need to go in Malshar. There is much to take in. The senses can be overwhelmed. We'll consider this your refuge. If ever you get overwhelmed, come back here and I will help you get your bearings.
I shall, thank you.
We do have rooms to let here in the tavern. I have a couple small individual rooms and a common area that's not too full. There's two beds in each single room.
Well, I will pay for a room.
Very well.
I have to see if I have a place to stay or not first.
Right. I will be back as well if I'm unable to find that.
All right. Well, don't tarry too long. This place will certainly fill up, but I will try and keep a spot open for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, you get to each an ale on the house. It's like early afternoon at this point. There's still plenty of day left. As you guys go your individual way.
I hope we will meet again.
I'm certain. If nothing else, why don't we meet back here this evening for drinks?
That sounds good.
Razor, it's been a long road to get here. as you make your way to the temple, your mind is pulled back, and we find ourselves in the great hall of the Great Forge. A crowd of venerable dwarves hull around a line of younger acolytes who are here to present themselves to the great smith for judgment. One by one, the acolytes approach the Great Forge, and the avatar of the Order watches as they complete the crafting of their holy symbols in the ancient fires. Those whose work is deemed worthy receive her blessing and are then presented with the sacred cloak, which has been crafted by their families and some passed down to the worthy to symbolize their power and authority. The last acolyte receives his cloak, and then the crowd goes silent as Razor approaches the forge. The sweat pours down his bare face. He pounds the final blow on his holy symbol. In his heart, he knows that his work will never be accepted and will return to his duties in the forge as an acolyte. And he lowers the symbol into the water to cool and then pulls the tongs up shakily to present it to the great smith. For what seems a thousand years, she regards the symbol with silence.
Acolyte Blacksmith, I find your efforts to be worthy.
Quiet gasp leaks out from the assembled witnesses. She blows upon this holy symbol and attaches it, glowing with her power, to his tunic.
Let this be a lesson to you all. A tool can be reforged even if the metal becomes brittle and dull. The right care and patience can reforge it into something useful.
And after a brief pause, a whoop goes up of his friends.
Who is here to present Acolyte Flaskmaster with his cloak and symbol of authority?
I don't have any family.
Silence, Acolyte!
We do you most holy, speaks Razor's friends, as they bring forth the long crafted cloak they put on his shoulders. One side is made of cavefish scales of white cream, and the other is similarly crafted in black and brown scales. It's a reversible cloak, flexible, light, and is stitched together with fine metal thread of an unknown origin. It is truly unique among all of the cloaks of the Order. Razor, I hope you're ready to go. I think I know where they're sending you.
Well, I never thought this day would come. Fortunately, I don't have much to pack.
Well, just be careful. I heard they're sending in a Malshar, and you're going to be working for Umir Forge Cloak?
Oh, yeah, well, he's delightful.
Well, just remember, he was once your friend, and perhaps he will be again?
Perhaps. I'm sure the great smith knows what she's doing.
As this memory fades back, you find yourself standing in the doorway of the great forge of Malshar. A blonde-haired acolyte steps forward. It's like, you must be Flaskmaster?
Indeed. I'm here to report.
Yes, His Eminence is expecting you. He thought you might be here a little bit earlier, but such is the road.
Such is the road.
Well, he's very excited. Let's follow me.
Very well.
She leads you through a ton of cavernous hallways, and there's various symbols of the Order here. There's hammers on the wall. There's the tongs, the hammer, the bellows affixed to the walls. And as you make your way into the main chamber, like all the forges, there's a forge fire in the center of the room and then a throne behind it. And as you make your way in, you see Umir. He looks older, but pretty much the same. Though his beard is just full of braids of office and all of that stuff. His armor is pristine. Like, it is very, very clean and incredibly fancy. His beard and his hair are, like, impeccably styled. And he's kind of leaning, like, one arm over and talk to another cleric as you walk in. Yes, well, I'm sure that the council will be ready to receive me in.
Greetings, Forge Master.
Razor! Brother Ordrum, it is good to see you again. He gets up out of the chair and makes his way around the forge and just grabs you in a huge embrace. Ah, you made it! You made it! You finally made it! He like kind of holds you by the shoulders and just kind of looks at your face. And goes, still, huh?
Indeed.
You know, it's distinct. It sets you apart.
It does.
And I hope you don't still feel bad about what happened between us. I was a little bit hard on you back in the day, and I just want to say, I want to use this as an opportunity to mend fences between us. I think the foolishness of you, the brashness. I was always flying about without thinking, and I hope you forgive me.
Indeed.
Well, great, great. That's I'm glad to hear that. And as you're kind of talking to him, you see this blonde acolyte, this probably about 50, which is
quite young.
Quite young. While he's not looking, you can definitely sense some eye rolling. There's a lot going on in the city right now, and I really need someone like you to help shoulder some of the burden. As you might already know, I am being considered for a seat on the Council of Elders.
Oh, I had not heard. Congratulations.
Yeah, this is the first you've ever heard. You're not surprised. You're not surprised that he's at least saying this. Yes, it's been, frankly, been keeping me very busy. The needs of the city are quite a bit. And I've been eyeballing a seat for some time. The Temple Master is quite old. And there's talk that she will be looking to step down soon and enter the final phase of her... whatever it is that elves do at this point in their lives, they seem to live forever. That being said, I do believe I am in the running as her possible replacement. I have made a lot of promises and arrangements that will keep me busy. So I promised to escort a diplomat to come here and speak to them about possibly petitioning the council for acceptance. She's a legate of the Claudian Empire. The Claudian Empire is a massive human empire which spans north of Iamora. It is very much a rigid expansionist empire. They came here a few hundred years ago, settled in the north, and have making a lot of diplomatic inroads or trying to kind of ingratiate themselves. Their first expansionist move they made was to attempt to annex Breadbasket, which is the halfling region in the center of Iamora. It's the source of most farming and agriculture. And the halflings being a very peaceful race, not understanding that this annexation was really just kind of a conquest, allowed the Claudians to take over. Once they realized this was less of a cooperative existence and more of a forceful takeover, with the help of the elves nearby, were able to expel the Claudians from Breadbasket and send them packing back to their cities in the north. There's been a lot of bad blood between the halflings and the Claudians, as much as there can be bad blood between the halflings and anyone. But that kind of marked the halflings being less of a pastoral, peaceful race and kind of pulling them into the affairs of men and elves and everyone else. So you know that. That's kind of common knowledge. I was hoping that you could meet them at the High Gate and just escort her back here. She will have a small guard complement with her, and it should be no problem. But I guess there's talk that the local halflings might catch wind of this and might be staging some kind of protest. So what I'm going to need you to do is go to their district, which is called Breadbox. Not the most imaginative names these guys come up with, but what do you want? They're farmers. And there's some rabble-rousers there. I was hoping maybe you could talk to them and maybe dissuade them from doing this.
Yes, because I am the most articulate and convincing person. I will do what I can.
Great, great. That's great. I know usually acolytes in this room have assembled an entourage.
I have not per se. I have encountered a couple new friends.
It is often tradition that traveling clerics will have a group of others with them, usually other dwarves, but in these days, they kind of expand to include other races too. And the larger your entourage, the more important you look. And you get the idea that a lot of your work in the city will probably be of this diplomatic errand running nature. So, you know, keep that in mind.
So if I was to have an entourage, would the church compensate them for their time?
Well, as is custom, we are a meritorious order. If they are able to assist you in a way that you deem appropriate, I imagine we can loosen the coffers a little bit if that's what it's going to take.
Very well, I will see what I can do.
Great.
It's been a pleasure.
And we will move over to you guys. So you guys both traveling together now?
I'm actually looking for some kind of wooded area, somewhere where I can feel more at home.
Well, good news. Bale Malshar is definitely a wooded area.
Come with me.
Certainly.
If it is as they say, feel right like home in the middle of the city.
All right. So you make your way, it's not far. As you head to the end of the main avenue of Crampton, you will see large trees growing in the middle of this busy city.
This is better.
Were you at climbing?
All right.
Well, it's not uncommon for us to build houses on the ground level, in canopy, underground. I don't know if that's all going to be present here. I've never been here before, but it's not uncommon. If this is our home away from home in Malshar, then you may get some climbing in.
I'll adapt, and a few bruises won't hurt me.
You look like an adaptable sort.
As you make your way down the street, Kiernan, you notice another person staring at you. This time, it's a middle-aged woman, reddish hair. She's dressed in, like, rags, almost. Like, she's practically a street beggar, and she makes eye contact with you and then vanishes into the crowd.
Do I notice this?
Give me a perception roll, Zika.
That is 24.
Okay, you do notice this. You notice that they lock eyes, and then this person just kind of blends back into this crowd of people and disappears.
I will wait a couple of minutes to see if Kiernan says anything. And if Kiernan does not say anything, I will say, friend of yours?
I'm sorry, what?
The person I saw them staring at you. It looked like you were staring back. The old woman.
No, I've not seen her before. Maybe she just saw something unusual about me.
Usual? I hope you don't mind me saying.
I don't. Maybe she was staring at you.
There's a comparative height difference.
I thought maybe it was just being in the city, messing with my head, but now that you noticed it too, I should probably look into it.
This woman?
Yes. This woman. I'm sure it's nothing. I wouldn't worry. It's nothing.
Are you guys going to just keep continuing and do anything else, or are you just going to keep going?
I'll keep continuing unless Kiernan wants to do something about this woman.
I'll continue. Okay. When it happens again, maybe I'll follow.
Not a problem. You make your way to Bale Malshar. There are indeed tree houses up in some of the trees, warrens that are like basically holes in the ground underneath. There's a lot of huts that looks like recently constructed, and the place is like teeming with life. There's a ton of Isog in here. It's pretty crowded. There are other creatures too that occasionally you will see some of the smaller flying fey creatures kind of hanging around here too, and various other strange beings that we will not worry about right this second. But. So on the one side, it is a wooded place. So you feel more at home. On the other side, there's still a lot of people here. Okay. So it's like six of one, half a dozen of the other. And so,
I guess I would look for some sort of a tavern or perhaps a marketplace, a meeting place where lots of people would come and might know the general social layout and possibly can direct me to people I might know.
Okay. You could give me... Oh, what would be a good thing for that? I guess...
Investigation?
Yeah, investigation. Yeah.
Well, it's just straight intelligence for me, so...
Do you want me to try?
Sure.
See if I can find some. 12?
Okay.
Better.
So you're kind of looking around. You're just almost kind of overwhelmed by the amount of folk here.
It's probably exciting, but the point of overstimulation.
But it's just like you don't really see anyone you recognize, but it's hard to say. I mean, there's so many... Kiernan, you do spot an area where seems to be like a feast going on, which is not unusual. You're a very feasty culture, but there seems to be a preponderance of people recreating.
That looks like it could be something.
Oh, yes. Thank you. So you should go over and say hi.
Mm. Right. As you get there, there's a fat old Isog, one of the larger ones. What are they?
Isog Shah.
Isog Shah, yeah. He is kind of holding court over this other group of younger Isog, and he's speaking Isog, so I don't know if you speak that language or not, but I imagine like a very kind of chittery.
It's fast-paced, kind of staccato. They generally favor shorter sentences, and they're very animated when they talk, so there's a lot of...
His arms are flailing around, and he's just kind of... His head is
movement,
just kind of... And he's basically regaling them with a story about... Him single-handedly taking on a
showboating
a bunch of Scarlet Warlord elite units
as they moved in.
I grabbed him and throttled him to the ground and beat his head up against a rock, and the venom flew everywhere. And, you know, it's a ridiculous story. Based on what this guy is saying, he single-handedly won the war. Everybody's having a great time.
Kind of, I'll translate as he's talking, yeah. So you kind of get the grandioseness.
It is the most ridiculous story you've ever heard. But, you know, 100% of it is true. Oh, please, please, you bring friends. Please, come.
Hello.
He will divert to common. Who is your friend?
I'm Zeke Hardwater. This is my traveling companion, Kiernan Locke.
Oh, please, have a seat.
We're new to the city. We were directed here. Feels just like Glassbale.
Yes, it is. All the comforts of home in the middle of this den of iniquity. Grab a glass, a haunch, fill up with our courtesy. Do you have any family here, Hardwater?
No family. I do have some friends I'm looking for here. I don't know if you are aware of quite everybody who is here.
Throw me some names and let me see if I can find them for you.
Three friends who were coming here about a year ago. Drin Redleaf, Huna Westbreeze, and Sagi Wintergrass. Companions of mine from my youth.
And his face kind of goes a little ashy. Huna is still here. And then he chitters something to one of their people. It's just like, get her. And it's like, you should speak with her.
Love to.
And in like about a minute and a half, somebody goes up in one of the trees and pulls this very slender Isagor young woman. And she sees you and she goes,
Huna! My good friend! And run over.
And she like scampers down the tree and run over you.
Scamper over and we embrace. It's a very energetic kind of like
we need to talk. There's a lot going on. We need to talk. Please, please come with me.
I have a friend I traveled with. Can he come or...
Yes, just bring him too. We have much to discuss.
Come with me.
And we'll flash back to you. You make your way to Breadbox. You've been actually given a name to inquire about Loretta Bumblecrouch. So as you get to Breadbox, you will notice that kind of similar to Bale Malshar, part of the district of the city is just like its own little island of pastoral wonder, as there's just a stretch of farms, your livestock being raised, there's small fields of corn and grain, and there's a tributary to the main river that comes out from here and down into the river when there's a grain mill there. So it looks like this whole place has been engineered to be like a little tiny version of Breadbasket here in the middle of Malshar. Halflings are busily tending to their farms, and you see a couple of inns, and they're very busily working, so.
Pardon me, miss. Do you know where Loretta Bumblecrouch is?
You kind of grab the first person you see, but it's like,
ah, Loretta! The angry one. You're not here in any official capacity, are you?
I would just like to talk to her.
Maybe you can talk some sense into her.
I can try.
She's my niece. Mm. Weirdly enough, you happen to run into the most helpful person in your initial steps into our fair district. It must be the great farmer's will. Please, follow me.
And she leads you further into the district and into a barn where, as you get closer, you hear voices in halfling kind of raised, shouting. I don't know if you understand them or not.
No.
Okay. She's whooping them up into a frenzy.
Loretta, there's someone here to see you.
Auntie, I do not have time for this. There's business here. We have less than a day to organize.
Please, for your mother's sake, would you speak to this gentleman?
You always do that, Auntie. You always have to bring her up. You know what happened to her. You know why.
Yes, well, your mother would be very ashamed of the way you've been conducting yourself lately.
It's because of her that I'm doing this. She died under their watch.
Still, she was a very peaceful woman. She would not have been happy with this.
Fine. It's dirty, though, what you're doing.
Dirty or clean, speak to this gentleman, and perhaps he should talk some sense into you.
So Auntie kind of scuttles off, and then this probably about early 20s looking halfling girl, she is very stocky. She's wearing leather armor. She has a short sword at her side. She has a wooden shield strapped to her back. Okay, you have 5 minutes. I'm not going to make any promises, but just tell me what you want.
Well, it's come to my ear that you are planning a protest for a certain diplomat that is to come through town tomorrow, which seems to fit remarkably with the time frame that you gave your aunt.
Give me a straight-up charisma.
That's a 3.
I really have no idea what you're talking about. We're just having a meeting of...
Very well. You may have no idea of what I am talking about. But if anyone were to protest that entourage that was being escorted through the city tomorrow, it would probably get quite bloody. And I'm just spitballing here, but looking around at potential protesters, they aren't equipped to handle it. And again, just leaping to conclusions here. Your mother seemed to die at the hands of some Claudian. I would hate for all your friends that listen to you and trust you to do so as well.
And at this point, kind of looking around the room, there's about half a dozen halflings here. They're just farmers, really.
Yeah.
Like, she's the only one here who looks like she has any kind of training or experience, and even that is kind of suspect. The rest of them just seem like a bunch of farm boys. Yeah. And they are building little catapults and trebuchets. So you can just smell this kind of sweet rot smell as they're got little carts just full of rotten cabbages and tomatoes. Give me a persuasion or sell me on something.
It probably doesn't matter, but it would seem to me like it was more of an intimidate. The role itself is exactly the same.
Okay, but it's the, yeah.
I got a 3 again.
Wow, well, she didn't do much better, but at the same time, you're already, she's...
I don't want anything to happen to you or your friends. I understand what happened in Breadbasket. It's tragic. They've been repulsed. The elves rule now. I hope that is better for you.
Elves. Yes, the elves are so helpful. They're so very... very helpful. Yeah, and it is also common knowledge that the elves who assisted in the de-annexing of the Claudians left a lot of troops behind to, and they're not all the halflings are really happy with the fact that they haven't left in all the time since that happened. It has been like about 20 years or so. I'm sure I have no idea what you're talking about, but we'll take it under advisement. Are we done?
I suppose so. Please, as I said, don't do anything foolish. I would hate for anything to happen to you. You have such a long life ahead of you.
Noted. And then she turns around and goes back to what she was doing. And then we'll flash quickly back to the rest of you. Huna takes you both up to her treehouse. What's your athletics?
Can I use acrobatics?
Or acrobatics, what is it?
I have a 4.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to make you roll. You can get up there, no problem. So it just takes you a little bit longer.
Yeah,
you're built for it.
What's going on? Are Drin and Segi around?
Drin went missing a few days ago.
Missing.
He went to get a whole pig for a feast. And he went to Hogsbane Alley to pick it up. That's where most hogs are butchered in the city and where the finest pork can be gotten. But he didn't come back. Segi went out looking for him just a day after, and she hasn't come back either.
We'll
and
find
I know
him at once.
Well, here's the problem. Hogsbane has been shuttered by the guard. No one goes in and no one goes out ever since yesterday. Ever since, the day Segi went in. Later that day, palisades were thrown up and guards surrounded the place. And there's talk of all kinds of things. But I know what happened. The serpent folk had taken over. It's lousy with them. It's just their M.O. They would be drawn by the easy prey. And I have no doubt that they've taken over there. That those who haven't been poisoned have been hypnotized by the chisel skins.
Do you have proof? Pardon me for interrupting.
Proof? I don't need proof. Many Isak have gone in there and have not come out. I am sure of it. No one here believes me, but I'm getting ready to go myself. I'm waiting on a piece of armor to be sewn for me. It should be ready by tomorrow, and then tomorrow evening I'm going in there to get them both back.
We'll go with you.
Mm. It's dangerous.
If Isak are disappearing, then presumably we can gather a force.
Will you help me?
Of course.
Right, meet back here tomorrow evening, and we will...
We'll rally.
We'll rally, yes.
Is there some kind of insight check just to make sure she's
Yeah, give me an insight check.
Something. 19.
You get the idea that she believes what she's saying, but she is not 100% certain that she is right.
I figured.
We're going to call it here. We're going to pick up with you guys meeting back up for your meeting in the evening. A lot of role-playing, not as much action as the last time, but... We are getting where we need to go. So once again, thank you all for listening, and we will see you in 2 weeks.